Hello, everyone. We hope you're enjoying our Treat Addiction podcast. Today, we will be talking about what I call a really sticky addiction, smoking and vaping. I call it a sticky addiction because over the years, I've had great success in treating people with opioids and alcohol addiction. And when they are stable and have had substantial time in recovery, we try to work on smoking cessation, and it is like a vertical climb. And I tell people that I can get people off of heroin and alcohol, but getting them to quit smoking is a whole lot more difficult. And I kind of like want to start this episode with describing what smoking causes. The primary thing is, while it does cause lung cancer, but the real terrible thing that it causes is COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a condition which makes it successively harder and harder for the person to breathe. And can you imagine? It is the difficulty is not in breathing in, it's in breathing out. The person is just not able to breathe out. So it's just like a slow suffocation. There are other ways that people die, like a kidney disease. They basically just go to sleep because the toxins become high, they become uremic. But in COPD, it's just a very, very difficult, painful, terrible, prolonged death.
It looks uncomfortable. Someone mentioned once in an article, it's like breathing through a straw, you know.
Yes, but, yes, I've heard that.
But I've seen people in my office sitting there, and they look very miserable.
Yeah. It really is pretty horrible to see.
Mm-hmm. As far as incidences are concerned, here's the good news. As of 2022, cigarette smoking among U.S. adults has declined to approximately 11%, which is significant from 42% back in 1965.
Yeah.
So that's great. And globally, smoking rates have decreased from 41% in the 80s to 31% in 2012. However, despite this decline, the absolute number of smokers increased from 721 million to 967 million because of population growth. And it's incredible when you think about it, that even now, with all that we know, that we still do the same thing we've always done. And they've found that the rate of cigarette smoking is higher, unfortunately, among those least likely to afford it, lower educational attainment. So 24% of those with high school diplomas only may be found to smoke, whereas 4% of those with graduate degrees. So maybe a little knowledge is power.
Also, and you see that in other addictions as well, that the lower education level has a higher incidence of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
As far as vaping goes, though, it is kind of like the incidence-wise, the prevalence-wise, it's kind of like the opposite of smoking. And the World Health Organization has expressed concern over the rising use of e-cigarettes, particularly among children and young people, with rates in some countries surpassing those of adults. And it's always, at the end of the day, it's kind of sad, but it's always the money. And the market growth, this is kind of dizzying. The numbers are dizzying.
Mm-hmm.
The global e-cigarette and vape market was valued at approximately $22 billion, with a B, in 2022. And can you imagine the increase from $3 billion in 2016?
Mm-hmm.
That's exponential. Yeah. And with projections estimating it will reach $28 billion by 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So who cares about kids suffering and dying? We just need to rake in the money.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., e-cigarette use among U.S. adults rose to nearly 6%, up from 4.5% the previous year. And this was in 2022.
And, you know, there's this illusion that people have that it's safer.
Yes. And it was started out like that as a means to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But then it took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
And the life that it took on, as you can see from the numbers, became much more because we have concentrated so much at every level, from the medical level to the governmental level in terms of addressing smoking. So smoking has gone down, but the vaping has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
And a 2024 National Youth Tobacco Survey reported a decline in e-cigarette use among middle and high school students. So we're trying to reach them, and I think we're kind of making some headway because it went down to 5.9%, down from 7.7% in 2023. But it remains a significant public health concern. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is that they've gone with the flavors. So in current youth e-cigarette users in 2024, 38% reported frequent use, mm-hmm. 26% reported daily use, and 87% users favored flavored cigarettes. And there is a plethora, like a whole menu of the various flavors that they can get, which is kind of like doubly pleasurable. Mm-hmm. There's the nicotine and then there's the flavor.
The flavor. And, you know, you can imagine that the system is not in place to help the individual. I mean, it's all about making money.
Yes.
And they get you, and I want to say they because I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to say they get you because they take your money with the product, and then they take your money when we have to treat the problems that the products cause.
Cause,
isn't
yes.
That awful?
That is. That
That's
is.
Awful.
It really is.
So what makes it so addicting? Well, you guessed it. I think our audience now have become very savvy and know the dopamine factor is it's a real thing. With nicotine, it causes the release of dopamine in the same area in the brain as other addictive drugs, such as opioids, alcohol, and cocaine. Same area. It causes mood-altering changes that make the person temporarily feel good. So I can picture some of the people. Remember the days when you have to walk through a gauntlet of people outside smoking because it was not allowed in various facilities?
Right.
And they had this look on their face like, oh, this is the life. You know, I'm enjoying this smoke. Because that quick release
of the dopamine.
Of the dopamine
yeah.
from the nicotine made them feel better. This rush is a major part of the addictive process.
Particularly because the smoking gets to the brain very quickly.
Very quickly. Within, yeah.
Next to an intravenous use, yeah. smoking
yeah.
is rapidly goes to the brain.
Within
and
20 seconds.
And that's why it's such a sticky addiction because yeah. people with generalized anxiety disorder and depression and, you know, who are very much more prone to stress, they'll just straight away go for a cigarette
yeah,
because
yeah.
that it immediately calms them
right.
down.
Yeah.
It's really quite fascinating. And contrary to other addictive substances, I was very amused to read this, that physical dependence on nicotine, the signs are that the urge to smoke within 30 minutes of waking,
mm-hmm.
wanting to reach for a cigarette,
mm-hmm.
ranking the first cigarette of the day as the most important,
mm-hmm.
and smoking at regular intervals throughout the day.
Yeah.
So I like the way that instead of our the criteria in the DSM-5, this is really simple. Because tobacco causes a feeling of pleasure and alertness,
mm-hmm.
but people with nicotine dependence, like opioid dependence, become tolerant
right.
because of the receptors in the brain.
Right.
And they may no longer experience pleasure from using tobacco, but they continue to use it because they want to avoid withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. And that's a real thing, the withdrawal, when you talk about that later on.
Yeah, and what is very interesting is that I have a patient who has a respiratory failure and is on oxygen. And when he started oxygen, the next visit, the room still reeked of cigarette smoke. And I asked him, I said, "You're not still smoking, are you?" And he said, "I am." And I said, "You'll burn the house down. You have oxygen on." And he said, I'm working on it. And he's still been working on it, and he's still smoking.
He's still working on it. Oh, my goodness.
It's really, and he said, I turn it off. I go outside, and that's where I smoke. And so you see the disconnect.
The disconnect, yeah.
It's quite interesting.
I think we often wonder, how is it passed on? Well, I think the old nurture versus nature is very applicable here.
Yes.
Because the heredity plays a significant role in the brain receptors to high doses of nicotine, the way it's delivered in the brain in some genetic groups. And the nurture is so important. A lot of people whose family members smoke or whose friends smoke, they are more likely to smoke as well. So there's, you know, the old saying, "Show me your friends, I'll show you who you are." Imagine having both. A lot of my patients, their parents smoked. A lot
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. previously we would always say that marijuana was the gateway drug, but in my mm-hmm. mind, cigarette smoking is the gateway drug. Mm-hmm. Because once you get to the when you start smoking, then the whole menu opens and people advance in their addictive journey, so to speak.
Yeah, I need something outside of a behavior to help me feel better.
Right.
I need a chemical to make me feel better. And it's propelled into other medical illnesses as well. So many people will come to see me for things that I think behaviorally we can treat. They want a pill. Give me something to make me feel better, as opposed to eat healthy, exercise, get fresh air, get sunlight, the behaviors. Nope, they want a pill.
And it's also interesting that age is a risk factor. The younger a person is when they start using tobacco, the greater the chance that they will continue to smoke mm-hmm. and develop nicotine dependence. So the same, to use Ketley's description, gentleman, the same gentleman, started smoking. I asked him, when did you start smoking? And he had to sort of go back. You know, when you're talking to people and you see that they're going back mm-hmm. in memory lane, mm-hmm. trying to figure out, it was age 7.
Wow.
He's 80.
Wow.
So he quitting now is literally a vertical climb. So coexisting mental health problems mm-hmm. such as depression, anxiety, schizophrenia also have higher rates of tobacco use. And people who use alcohol, cannabis, illegal drugs also the same applies.
Yeah, I think sometimes people will sit out there as they're listening saying, well, why do we keep harping on this? Because smoking kills. I mean, I think that's very straightforward. We know about lung cancer, right? But what about mouth cancer, throat cancer, esophageal cancer, pancreatic cancer, bladder cancer? I've seen people who's had mouth cancers, what happened to that whole architecture of your face. It is not a pretty picture. But by then, it's too late. It's too late.
And you know, in you talk about lung cancer responsible for 80 to 90% of cases in smokers.
Yes.
So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, mm-hmm. they don't easily pay for things. Mm-hmm. But one thing that they pay for is what we call an LDCT, a low-dose CT mm-hmm. chest mm-hmm. of people who have a history of smoking, because we cannot detect cancer mm-hmm. with a chest x-ray. Mm-hmm. So a low-dose CT is now recommended standard to be done yearly on people who have smoke. A recent history of smoking.
Yeah. But there is that disconnect that you mentioned earlier, what we know and what we do, you know.
Yes.
Respiratory illnesses. You mentioned already the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and how challenging that is to live with it. When I see those who come into my office, we have a ramp as they come into the into the building, pulling along their oxygen tanks. And then there are those who have the little portable tanks, you
yes.
know. Now you have a twin for the rest of your life that you have to contend with, you know, increased risk of infections. I was thinking of, this is a long story. I can't digress into it, but it was a matrix correlation here, but I'm not going to go there. Cardiovascular disease, increased risk of heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, circulation problems. I had a gentleman.
Oh, God. The gentleman again.
That I worked with years ago. Very nice man. Schizophrenia, but very pleasant, you know.
So he was a patient.
He was a patient, yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Worked with, sounded like a colleague.
I know, right?
Ketley, I don't know.
No, I don't know. They're all the same. Gentlemen, you know, gentlewomen. So this man, he had vascular disease and already lost a limb. And his hand was almost blue because of the vessel disease.
Yes, absolutely.
The nicotine aggravates it. And he
yes.
was told that he
spasm.
Needed to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled yeah. in spite of looking at his hand, knowing that he would lose his hand if he didn't stop smoking. So it's a real thing that the nicotine can cause vascular disease. And
people can have
clots.
Bypasses.
Yes.
People have bypass surgery.
Yeah.
And then they go back to smoking.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hard to
insane.
Believe.
It can cause reproductive issues in both men and women, not just the women. Higher risk of miscarriages, premature birth, and birth defects can occur. Weakened immune system, more issues with healing, slower wound healing. And, you know, before surgery, they encourage you to, you know, avoid the smoking, but people are unable to do just that. Other risk factors, premature aging of the skin. there are several women that I can picture their faces, that they have these little lines above their lips from pursing their lips and
yes.
because of the smoking, you know. But
what I like is that if you go to a dermatologist mm-hmm. and they love to show, they have these posters in their exam rooms
yeah.
and they have this person who has been a smoker.
Yeah.
And they're almost like before and after pictures, and the intensity
yeah.
of the aging process in yeah. is like so incredible. And I don't know whether you remember, there was this billboard in terms of people smoking during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes. you have this full-term belly,
yeah.
pregnant belly,
yeah.
and the cigarette is stuck in the belly mm-hmm. button.
Yeah.
It's so impressive,
yeah.
but that's exactly what's happening, that the
yeah.
baby is smoking
yeah.
and causing birth defects
yeah.
and you know, early labor and early
yeah.
delivery, premature birth.
It's, but it doesn't seem to deter, you know.
Yeah, for the real hardcore people.
For the real hardcore, yeah.
But there are people in my patients who, mm-hmm. when they get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
they stop drugs and they stop smoking
mm-hmm.
and they stop alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a minority,
yeah.
I admit, but it's totally doable and does happen.
But definitely they should be applauded.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And in terms of birth control pills and smoking, very, very high incidence of deep vein thrombosis,
mm-hmm.
blood clots which mm-hmm. go to the lung and kill people. And that
mm-hmm.
can be the cause of death
mm-hmm.
in young women
mm-hmm.
who are smokers.
Mm-hmm. And they're aware of that, because I know most GYNs review that with patients as far as the incidences. So they
yes.
know.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And then a lot of us will not prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
We won't prescribe the birth control pill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking of emphysema, I have a couple of patients who, when I examine them, I tell them that when I get to the examining their lungs, I tell them big breaths, mouth open. That's my standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then my stethoscope is there and I can't hear anything. So then I kind of like peek and then I say it again. And then I realize they are taking big breaths with their mouths open.
Yeah.
But what's happened is that they have COPD
yeah.
and the lung has transformed from being soft grape-like
mm-hmm.
alveoli or grape-like clusters,
mm-hmm.
air sacs,
mm-hmm.
into these large cavernous areas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's no air exchange, so I can't even hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a jolt for me
yeah.
that this person has COPD even without me testing them and doing pulmonary functions.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. So going to the dangers of vaping now, and like we said, it's been marketed as a safer alternative, but it still carries significant health risks. And there's lung damage, and we like to acronym everything. It's called vaping-associated lung injury, or EVALI. It's linked to vitamin E acetate, heavy metals, and flavors in the vape liquids. There are cardiovascular risks of increased heart rate and blood pressure, heart attacks and strokes. And many e-cigarettes contain high levels of nicotine, leading to dependency, which you're back basically from the frying pan into the fire.
Into the fire.
And the potential toxins and carcinogens. So previously we would say, oh, vaping is safer than smoking because the tar and all of the other stuff is not
mm-hmm.
in the vape. But now we have vape liquids which have formaldehyde, heavy metals, and volatile organic compounds. And these are very damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't know. Just like, you know, the GLP-1s like Ozempic and all are new to the market.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know their long-term effects.
We don't know.
So here we don't know the long-term effects of vaping as well as we know about the smoking. Then there's mental health effects. Well, while people smoke and vape to reduce anxiety and depression, just like marijuana, there's a paradoxical increase in the anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
There is mood swings, cognitive impairment. And one thing you can see very clearly for people who smoke is dental hygiene
mm-hmm.
or dental state.
Mm-hmm.
Because smoking reduces the blood supply
mm-hmm.
to the gums,
mm-hmm.
It causes severe gum disease and
tooth decay and
periodontal disease.
Mm-hmm.
So while it can be, it's been touted as being less harmful than smoking traditional cigarettes, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, vaping is not risk-free.
Mm-hmm.
And serious consequences for overall health are being documented. And avoiding both really is the way to go.
But, you know, as we said earlier, I can imagine the system that's in place I'm going to get you one way or another. And now that I know you like vaping, I'm going to add more to it to make sure you keep coming
back. Yeah, like the flavors. Yeah. More enticing flavors.
So in talking about quitting, smoking cessation, as you said earlier, often people will stop using drugs and stop drinking alcohol. But when it comes to stopping cigarettes, it's an uphill climb. It is very hard. Difficult. We had a program, some colleagues of mine and I, that we used to promote on smoking cessation. And some of the things were behavioral things that really did help. But how many psychiatrists does it take to change?
You really have to change, want to change. Exactly.
They have to want to change.
Yeah.
And when they make a decision to stop, we recommend that they cut back on how much they smoke and then to set a quit date. And now the following things that I'm going to list are things that will help to expel the nicotine from their system. So we don't recommend using any alternatives to keep, you know, titrating off. You have to actually stop the nicotine because you want to get it out of your system to reduce the craving and the desire to use. So we suggest they drink a lot of water, eat more fibers, like lots of fruits and vegetables, exercise, deep breathing exercises. All of that gets rid of the nicotine from your system. Imagine the behaviors. And there's another recommended techniques. It's called hot and cold water treatment, wherein you are in the shower twice a day. You finish your shower. You get in there. You turn the water as hot as you can tolerate without burning. And then for about 60 seconds, and then you turn it down. They recommend longer, but I know it's going to be hard to do longer. And then you do it for 30 seconds on cold, very, very cold. And you do three cycles of that. Again, what it does, it constricts the vessels and then it dilates the vessel. And you get this to help you get rid of the nicotine from your system.
Oh, wow.
You hot water, dilate, cold water, constrict. It goes in, it brings it all out. So three cycles of that until a week or two later, the desire diminishes significantly. But
it's very interesting.
Yes, it is very interesting. So set a quit date, use those techniques, identify triggers, and you know what your rituals are. If you drive a certain way, if you get up in the morning out of this side of the bed, go to the other side of the bed. The first thing you do is brush your teeth. Well, first thing you do now is go get a tall glass of water. And definitely adopt healthy lifestyle. Physical activity, exercise is our best friend. Practice mindfulness, meditation, the deep breathing. All of that gets rid of this from your system. Seek support. There is support out there. There's the Nicotine Anonymous. Engage in counseling or CBT. There are programs out there that's available for your use. And to prevent relapse, you know, be aware. Know that you are going to get a little bit more cranky. You will want to use. There'll be the cravings. You will find yourself with some mood swings, but they're temporary. You know, don't get all bent out of shape and all twisted in a bunch. Just prepare yourself for this process. Reward yourself. Celebrate your milestone. You've been sober for a whole week. I'm not suggesting Cold Stone. Okay, we talked about Cold Stone earlier. I'm not suggesting Cold Stone because the weight thing is an issue for some people. So I say celebrate by going to, I don't know, your favorite place and play a game. Do something different. Stay motivated. Remind yourself of personal reasons for quitting, for your family, for your health, for your children, for those in your circle of influence. Remember all these things to prevent relapse.
When you talk about Cold Stone, there are some people who don't want to quit smoking because it reduces their appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And when they quit smoking, their weight goes up because they switch addictions.
Yes.
And when I tell them that if you look at the dangers of smoking versus the dangers of being overweight or even obese, the danger of smoking is higher.
It's higher.
So it's better to be overweight than to be smoking. And
agreed.
You talk about quitting cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So I've developed a method in which people who cannot do the cold turkey and switch or stop altogether, I've developed what is called the weaning and quit method. So what I tell them that if they're smoking, for instance, 10 cigarettes a day, for this coming week, they reduce that to 9 cigarettes a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the following week, it's 8 cigarettes a day, mm-hmm. and then 7 and so on.
And so on, yes.
And there have been patients who have quit and stayed quit mm-hmm. with this method mm-hmm. because it's so slow mm-hmm. that you don't notice the difference between 10 cigarettes and 9 cigarettes. And I tell them that what you have to do is that you have to wake up in the morning and you have to dole out the cigarettes that you're going right. to smoke that day. Right. And that's all you're going to smoke.
Yeah.
And because of that very gradual wean, mm-hmm. the patient is able to quit smoking.
I mean, I'm 100% in agreement because we recommend weaning down. But once you've gotten to your last number that you cannot do without, now you have to set a quit date because you can't be a little pregnant.
Right. But when we talk about nicotine replacement therapy, it has mm-hmm. to be a quit.
Yeah.
So basically, this is what ties into what you just said about mm-hmm. the quit date, that you decide on a quit date mm-hmm. and then you substitute. So in terms of medications for mm-hmm. Smoking, or nicotine replacement therapy, we have nicotine patches, nicotine gum, lozenges, mm-hmm. inhalers, or nasal sprays. Mm-hmm. And in these, the quit date is very, very key mm-hmm. because you cannot. And if I have a patient who is not really getting it, mm-hmm. I won't prescribe nicotine replacement therapy to them. I won't mm-hmm. prescribe a nicotine patch because if they're going to smoke with the nicotine patch, they will develop a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to, again, tailor the treatment to the patient and make sure that they understand what they're doing mm-hmm. and they're not smoking and doing nicotine right. gum and right. jazz like that at right. the same time. Medicine has been, because we recognize, like you talked about, the receptors and dopamine, that we've developed medications that target the quitting smoking piece. So bupropion or Zyban, the brand name, reduces nicotine cravings and withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the very, very effective Chantix or varenicline blocks nicotine receptors in the brain, reducing pleasure from smoking. This is the most effective. This is analogous mm-hmm. to Suboxone. Mm-hmm. What Suboxone is to opioids, Chantix is to smoking.
I've had some great results with Chantix.
Very, very wonderful results. And I want the audience to know that branded Chantix was voluntarily recalled by Pfizer mm-hmm. due to contamination with nitrosamines, mm-hmm. but generic versions of Chantix are available as mm-hmm. varenicline. And the FDA considers the nitrosamine content acceptable in the generic versions. Mm-hmm. Then patients will, of course, you know, they are very smart, they feel, and they say, well, no, I don't want to go on Chantix because I'm going to become suicidal. So that was the initial big thing about with the Chantix. Mm-hmm. But now we've sorted out that issue. We monitor the patient if they have mm-hmm. suicidal thought. So that black box warning has been removed from Chantix. Mm-hmm. And we monitor them. And if there is aggressiveness, hostility, depression, and suicidal thought, we, of course, will take away, discontinue mm-hmm. the Chantix. Then we also have, and God bless the internet, because I think it has in a lot of ways changed our lives for the better. We have apps and online programs. Mm-hmm. Smokefree.gov offers personalized quitting plans and resources. Quit Guide, there's a Quit Guide app. Mm-hmm. It provides daily motivation and progress tracking. Quit Now is a social support app with a global quitting community. And I think the company of people who are going through what you're going through helps a great deal. Mm-hmm. We have helplines and counseling services. National Quit Line of 1-800-QUIT-NOW gives free coaching and resources in the United States. Local smoking cessation clinics and healthcare providers. And we create personalized plans mm-hmm. Based on the person's medical history. So there's really, like we mentioned in one of our earlier episodes, the primary thing is to get the motivation. Mm-hmm. The only thing mm-hmm. we don't have is the motivation pill.
Right.
But once the person is motivated, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that is available.
It's funny you said that. I was talking with someone in my office today, and she was making some bad decision. And her significant other was asking me, what can we do about it? These are not manic symptoms. These are bad decisions. I said, I don't have a pill for people who make bad decisions. I don't have a pill. I'm sorry. They need to be in counseling to learn how. In the meantime, then the family has to encircle this person and protect them from themselves. But if we had that pill, wouldn't that be cool?
And you know, decisions, I've always said that we really are a product of our decisions,
mm-hmm.
small and large.
And large. Every day we make choices.
Yes.
You know, but I want the audience to just listen for a minute that when you stop smoking,
this is pretty cool.
It is. The body starts to heal almost immediately. 20 minutes after you stop, your blood pressure begins to drop. 12 hours, the carbon monoxide levels in your body returns to normal. Within 12 weeks, your circulation and lung function improve. Within a year, the risk of heart disease drops by 50%, and within 10 years, lung cancer risk is reduced by half compared to a smoker. How cool is that?
That is.
The body can repair if you give it a chance.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in terms of quitting vaping, there is withdrawal. And it tells you that vaping is so addictive that you have withdrawal symptoms like cravings, irritability and mood swings, anxiety, restlessness, difficulty concentrating, headaches, fatigue, sleep disturbances. And so in terms of quitting vaping, setting a quit date like you talked about and planning ahead, telling supportive friends and families about your decision and identifying your triggers. And also with vaping, we can use nicotine replacement therapy and we can titrate it. The patch can be titrated, for instance, depending on the person's, if a person is like a pack-a-day cigarette smoker, we use 21 milligrams of the nicotine patch. But with vaping, it depends on the amount of use and we would titrate that. But there's also patches, there's also lozenges and gum. Mm-hmm. And then there is, of course, the Zyban and the Chantix. Mm-hmm. I've noticed one thing that's really important is for the person, because for a lot of people, it's a habit. The hand-to-mouth habit,
hand
you know?
Hand-to-mouth. Mm-hmm.
Keeping your hands busy is a very key thing. Stress balls, fidget toys. And at the time in which the person is trying to quit, that time has to be a very packed time mm-hmm. in their lives. They've got to be busy. They can't have this endless mm-hmm. free time.
Downtime.
Because then they're definitely going to relapse. And developing coping strategies, like you mentioned, deep breathing, mindfulness, engaging in the Ketley prescription mm-hmm. of physical activity, and replacing the vaping routine with another routine, mm-hmm. like reading or journaling. Mm-hmm. And there's always a discussion, like we just talked about whether it should be a gradual reduction mm-hmm. or whether it should be cold turkey. Mm-hmm. And some people prefer cold turkey for a faster detox, and then others, they prefer it to be slower because I think they have the umbilical cord issue in which they don't want to cut it, mm-hmm. like right now.
And I think we have to recognize there's no one-stop shopping. That's why we have so many different medications, so many different treatment options. You have to do what works best for you with the goal of quitting. Use your support system. Use your resources. You know, there are apps online, as you just listed. You know,
yes.
There's one that this is Quitting by Truth Initiative, Quit Guide app, Quit Now. There are many things available. The National Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, smokefree.gov, Reddit and social media groups. There are many things available. If you want this, you can do it. And for sometimes, for some individuals I see in my office, I tell them, I'll see you more often. I will be your best cheerleader. I will just say, rah, rah, you got this, you can do
right,
this.
Right, right.
Just to be encouraging to them so that they know they can do it.
And in the process, when people make the decision and I'm prescribing nicotine replacement therapy to them, particularly, I see them every month. Mm-hmm. And it's a decreasing dose, first of all, mm-hmm. but to see their progress and to ensure accountability in a sense that I'm going to, because someone is interested in my quitting as well. So much like quitting smoking, preventing relapse in vaping is essentially the same mm-hmm. in that you must expect cravings. But it's the key thing is not to give in. Mm-hmm. And the cravings, just like, you know, when people complain, it's kind of related. People complain of menopausal symptoms and they want, in the old days, we would give estrogen to everyone and their little sister, but we don't anymore. Mm-hmm. And when they're kind of like angling to get some estrogen from me, I tell them, you know, it's a hot flash. You know, the reason it's called a hot flash is because it goes away in a flash. All right. So the craving is going to go away. Just hang in there
for a
little bit.
Yeah.
And avoiding triggers is a very key thing. Mm-hmm. The same activity that made you vape needs to be replaced with others.
Yeah.
And then reminding yourself for the reasons for quitting. better health, saving money. And my patients always talk about the money that they have saved. Mm-hmm. Because it can be kind of, if you add it up, it can be pretty darn high.
I was talking to a female in my office, a young adult woman, who was a two-pack-a-day smoker. This is like, I want to say, maybe 15 years ago. And I sat there, and I was calculating, and I said, do you know how much money you spend? And she was on disability, too. $300+ a month. I said, that could be a car note for you so that you can get back and forth instead of waiting for the bus. $300+ for someone on disability, that's ridiculous.
That is, it is. Yeah. But the interesting thing is that people are so sort of trapped in mm-hmm. their addiction, they right. don't see the larger picture.
They don't.
Yeah.
But I was thinking also the benefits of quitting, as we just said with cigarette, is very similar. 20 minutes after you stop vaping, your heart rate and blood pressure begin to normalize. 24 hours, carbon monoxide levels begin to drop. 1 week, 1 week, your sense of taste and smell improves. I can't tell you how many people tell me that they can taste food better after they stop smoking and vaping. They can taste food. Their clothes start to smell better. They don't have that heavy smell on them. Their fingers start to get less yellow tips. Yeah.
And the high incidence of infections, pneumonia in yeah. people who smoke is because we have cilia in our noses.
Yes.
These little hair-like structures which basically move the germs
yeah.
and put them in the digestive tract.
Yeah.
But when people smoke, yeah. they become like steel.
Yeah.
They become rigid,
yeah.
and the germs go in very easily,
yeah.
and they go straight to the lungs yeah. and cause pneumonia.
And cause pneumonia, yeah. Yeah, 1 month later, their lung function and energy levels increase. A year later, the risk of heart disease significantly decreases. And sometimes these improvements are not tangible or recognizable, but they're there. I have people tell me, well, you said if I start exercising, I would feel better. I don't. I said, well, you will appreciate it because your bones are getting stronger, your heart is getting stronger, your lung. You can't tell all those things are happening. So just take my word for it. Go do
yeah,
it
and
anyway.
Sometimes people develop heart disease and they have to have bypasses. And the bypasses, obviously, after that, they most of the majority does not smoke. And you see the before and after of people who were chain smokers
mm-hmm.
and then now they have quit smoking. They absolutely and totally look different.
They look different.
And thank you, they smell different.
They smell different. And that there's a gray hue that some people develop.
Yes.
That their skin, their skin coloring, everything is improved.
And the lips yeah. become darker.
Yes.
You can tell yes. from people who smoke that the lips yeah. are darker too.
Yeah.
So we really hope you enjoyed this episode and it was informative. In our next episode, we will deal with another big issue, which is one of my patients used to call it my Gabby girl, gabapentin. So we're going to call it Gabby and company, or because there are others like xylazine and kratom that we will address as well. And it will be very informative because addicted patients kind of switch to other substances,
mm-hmm. yep.
thinking that they're not addictive, but...
Or they're not as bad.
Or they're not as bad, but they turn out to be significant issues. I'm your host and producer, Dr. Mahjubeen Islam.
And I am your co-host, Dr. Kathleen Daniels.
And our executive producer is the very talented Chris Pfeiffer. Please share this podcast with friends and family, for it is only through education that our society can be helped and we can stem the destruction that the disease of addiction causes. Just go to wgte.org/treataddiction or wherever you stream your podcasts. You can listen in continuity from the beginning or else just pick the episode that interests you. And with all the challenges of life, do remember, patience in difficult times and gratitude always. We hope to see you soon.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.